This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes!
The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Stupidity, home of the greatest media mind ever to walk the planet.
I tell you what, man, he's a literal titan across the entire media landscape.
Okay, so here's the deal. He's a true icon in every sense of the word.
He's loved and feared more than any being to grace this planet.
There's two guys. A man with a voice that sounds like Barry White and Beyonce had a Jewish baby.
God himself would pay $39.99 for a cameo. Fact of the matter is, you are about to embark on a transcendent experience that can only be described as psychological nudity.
This is Stu Glass, and this is Stupidity.
Here we go, Jim.
Tony!
Welcome into another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world, thanks to you. Please subscribe, rate, and review. Unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. Mikey A, we have a little star power coming on Stupidity today, and we are going to geek out big time, my friend.
I am geeking out hard right now. I mean, this is the first big get we've got, unless you count Greg Cody, and this is the Jets head coach, and you and I are lifelong suffering Jet fans.
Yes, Adnan, not insulted at all, by the way.
Dan Patrick.
Or Dan Patrick. Stupidity. And by the way, I was the guest when Greg Cody was the guest, I guess, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, he interviewed you, but I mean, yes. What are we going to get out of Jets coach here, Robert Saleh? What are we getting out of him?
So we have Robert Saleh, the new Jets head coach, coming up here in just a few minutes. Mikey A and I are both massive Jet fans. 40 years, this organization has given me nothing. Mikey A and I were laughing before we started taping here that we've been on a bunch of first dates throughout our life, and they've 18. Never resulted. Yeah, and they've never resulted in a second. I mean, they never resulted in tying the knots. I mean, I don't know what we're gonna get. I'm just gonna ask them why.
So when I found out we were getting him, I started texting all my buddies, all my brothers, you know, my Jet fan friends, and I was like, "Hey guys, what should I ask him? What should we ask him?" And the questions I got back were so hateful and angry because they're just lifelong. Like, why the hell would you want to work for that bleep Woody Johnson? Why the hell would you want? And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to ask that. I'm going to ask him where he wants to erect the statue of himself when he wins the damn Super Bowl.
Oh, so you're going to be out. You're going to fall for it again.
Oh, I am hard in on this. I am all in on Robert Saleh.
What Robert Saleh, what makes me excited about him is He's the former 49ers defensive coordinator. Now, the year they went to the Super Bowl, the defense was great. Last year, just ravaged by injury, that defense and COVID and just a million things that were going on. And the defense still performed and they still were competitive.
It was still like top five.
It was still top five. But far more importantly than any performance of any defense that he's ever coached, he looks like a coach.
He looks like a player. He looks like, I am going to ask him, I need to know, what percentage of the league right now could he take in an Oklahoma drill? Because okay, I think it's high 80s. I think right now.
I want to know if he thinks he could start for the Jets. I mean, will he start himself at linebacker? He's got 10% body fat. I mean, seriously.
I mean, the dude, and he's got that demeanor on the sidelines where it's just like, you want to go run through a wall for this guy. I am so geeked out about this. I can't wait till he signs on.
I am super excited in a way that I haven't been excited for a Jets coach since Adam Gase. I mean,
and before that, Todd Bowles. And before that, Rex Ryan. And before that...
who was before Rex Ryan?
Eric Mangini.
Oh, my God, Mangini. Mangini was a legit star. Like, do you remember that?
Mangini he was on was The like, Sopranos.
He was on The Sopranos, yes. People thought he was going to be the coach forever in New York, and then...
This was the guy. This was the guy that we took from Belichick that was going to make everything different.
It all started with Belichick. I mean, that's it. Like, it's Belichick faxing in his resignation after one day on the job. Oh, there he is.
Oh, boy, yes.
Coach, you got me okay?
Yes, sir. I got you.
Thank you for doing this, man. We appreciate it.
No, thank you for having me. It's going to be awesome.
So you have a Jet fan who's the host of this, and you have an executive producer who's also a Jet fan, just so you know.
That's awesome.
So we're kind of geeking out a little bit that we have you on here, okay? It's super exciting for us. Yeah, yeah. But all our friends are Jet fans, and so I want to say this respectfully to the organization, but 40 years of frustration, Mikey A, so we – you know, I've been asking my kids. My daughter is a Jet fan. My wife has turned into a Jet fan. Mikey A, our producer, has millions of friends who are Jet fans. So do I. We've reached out to all of them. Hey, what do you want us to ask the new coach of the New York Jets? And all of them have come back to us with one simple question. Why? Oh, man. No. So why?
Yeah, no, fair question. That's a fair question. Everybody wants to know why. No, it's... I think perception around the league and what people think of this building is, you know, you hear the saying perception is reality, but the reality is until you speak to the people and hear it from their mouth, you can't create your own, you've got to create your own reality. And so being able to come to this building, with all the perceptions already having been shared with me, and then to have those conversations with Christopher and Joe and Jaime, just throw them away. These are genuine people. Even my conversations with Woody over this past week, throw them all away. These are very, very good men. They have a tremendous amount of humility and they want to win just like everybody else. And they've got a tremendous vision in mind. They've got a collaborative vision in mind, and you could genuinely feel that they wanted a partner. And that's why.
Okay, well, that works for me. I mean, but understand that we're scarred because Mikey, but we're an easy sell, Mikey. We've been sold 18 times. I mean,
Mikey, it still comes down to wins. Comes down to wins.
It always comes down to wins. I want to talk to you before we get to some on the field stuff quickly. And I want to talk about your family because two sons, four daughters. I have two daughters. I hear you have another one on the way. I want to know how you're going to balance coaching and the family stuff because that's difficult. But I think more importantly for you, because I would imagine this is super important to you and you take a great amount of pride in it. What's it feel like to be the first Muslim head coach in the NFL? And congratulations, man.
No, I appreciate it. It is humbling. Especially with the community that I grew up in, which largest concentration of Middle Easterns in the world outside the Middle East in Dearborn, just outside Detroit. And I think they've all converted to Jets fans. So they're they're all over. I mean, they're already buying season tickets out here and everything. So, awesome. You know, it is humbling, you know, and it's cool and all. But yeah, there's not many words for it, I guess.
Yeah, but what, like, just overall, the minority hirings in the NFL and the fact that Eric Bieniemy, this great offensive coordinator for the Chiefs, is still, you know, sitting here without a job. What do you think, Coach? What do you think the NFL could do in terms of improving the amount of minority hirings that are made here in the NFL? Because it's to me, it's absurd. It's ridiculous.
No, you know, I think the league has done a really, really good job. They've been pushing the envelope with regards to creating incentives, rules, and different ways to go about this entire process. And so I know it's very, very important to the league. I know it's very, very important to the owners. The result may not be where everyone wants it to be right now, but I do know that it's something that is being relentlessly worked towards. And because of that, I just, you know, it's, I get the results, not what we want right now, but it's still a process that the NFL offices and the owners are very aware of, and they want to get right. And so they're going to continue working together and to for the future. So
here's what me and Mikey A love most about you. Okay. Just so you're aware of what we love most about you. You look like a coach. In fact, you look like a linebacker. are you going to start yourself a linebacker coach?
Oh man. Not if CJ has something to say about it.
I forgot we had CJ Mosley.
That's he's right.
He
took last year off.
Wait a second. What ahead, percentage Mike. Right now of players in the league do you think you could take in an Oklahoma drill? Because if it's not high 80s, I think you're lying to me.
All right, I'm going to tell you guys a funny story. I got a funny yes! story for y'all. All right, yeah. So I'm an intern with the Houston Texans.
Right.
I'm a young 25-year-old. I'm at the peak of my physical condition. I'm running with the players.
Wait, this is not the peak, Coach?
This is way back when. This is a younger version of me. So okay. I really am at the peak of my physical condition. I'm working out with the players and everything. And so we draft this young man named D'Amico Ryans. And, you know, we pair up in drills, and nobody wants to go with the rookie. There's seven linebackers. So I was like, I'll go with the rookie. And I'm sitting there. I'm trying to just show my chest for him so he can get his hand placement. And he throws his hands. And it's not like he was trying to throw them hard, but he knocked the wind out of me. And it was at that moment I realized, no, I have no chance in this football game.
All right, but maybe not on the field. On the sidelines, though, I'm guessing there's not a single head coach or any coach who could take you. Is that fair?
Oh, man. I don't know. You'd have to ask someone else that one.
It's Vrabel or bust, right? It's Vrabel or bust.
Vrabel or Sala? Is that what you're saying?
Vrabes looks like somebody who'd bite your ear off. So,
I mean, listen, I don't want to be too graphic, but he offered to cut off his penis if they won a Super Bowl. I mean, you don't think he would actually do that, do you, Vrabes?
No, he wouldn't do it. There's no way.
Robert Saleh with us, the new head coach of the New York Jets. I am interested here because I've talked to so many coaches throughout the years. Joe Gibbs used to tell stories that he would put his picture at the dinner table just so his family could kind of feel like he was there. Sometimes he'd FaceTime in. Mike Shanahan told me he would FaceTime during meals. You have two sons, four daughters. You're married. You're the head coach of the New York Jets. It's a major job. How do you get to balance all this? How do you find that balance between work and what I know is the most important thing in your life, your family?
No, for sure. Quick correction. It's four boys, two girls.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's yeah. okay. They are they're the foundation of my life. They really are. And my wife is the stabilizing figure that keeps it all together. So, you know, I am a big family guy, and just having family dinners on Tuesday nights to get everybody just that break in game planning, just so they can have the family around. And there's times the FaceTime thing with my family is sometimes my son just wants to watch me work while he does his homework. Just the fact that it's there. So there's ways to make connections. There's ways to make sure you get your work done in a timely manner. I'm not a big believer in babysitting our desk just to babysit the desk, but we're going to do so in a manner where we are 100% confident that we've crossed every T and dotted every I. And when we're comfortable with our work, we'll be able to get our family time in. But it is tough because it is a heck of a lot more hours than people realize. But it doesn't mean that it can't be done.
I'm sold here. So I have one question. I've written it down. This is what I need to know. When you win the Super Bowl with the New York Jets, where are we going to put your statue? Where are we erecting this? And you pick out a spot because I have some in mind.
Coach, he's very optimistic. Me, not so much. I'm 40 years. I'm scored for 40 years. He is very optimistic, though.
God willing, we can make that decision, huh?
I got places in mind, Coach. When we're on the parade float together, me and you, I'll point them out to you.
Do your sons or daughters, for that matter, ever try to chime in with any advice for dad on the coaching?
You know what? I've got, so my oldest is only 10, right. And he's He draws plays in his little notebook all the time. He's if you think about, remember the water boy, the coach that had his playbook of plays. That's my son. And so he's a phenomenal mind, and he can watch the game. He knows when you're in too high, single high. He at 10 years old already. So he's unfortunately looks like he's going down the wrong path, and rather him do something else, but he loves football.
It might work out for the Belichick kid.
little nepotism never hurt Mikey. It is interesting because coach, you're known as a defensive coordinator for the Niners, and a great one. Defense was great 2 years ago, went to the Super Bowl, ravaged by injuries, COVID stuff, and it was still great this year. But I think some of the solace that Jet fans take with you being hired as their head coach is you have spent time around Shanahan. You have spent time, your best friends, with Matt LaFleur, two offensive minds. And so the hope is, hey, you got the defense covered and you've picked their brains enough to create a great offense. What have you learned from those two guys to help you prepare for this particular job?
No, I've been very, very fortunate. It's not very often where you, as a young coach, that you get injected into a tree like the Shanahan system. And when I say Shanahan, I'm talking all the way back from Papa, Mike Shanahan, who I respect immensely. Sure. My time in Houston, Gary Kubiak, so it was the same system. My time in San Francisco, so 10 of my 16 or so years have been with this offensive system and having intimate interaction with regards to meetings. And obviously I've been friends with Matt and Kyle and for my entire life, so to be able to have off-season conversations and all that stuff, so we know exactly what it looks like. We know the process. There's a connection that's not just, all right, offense, you go do it. There's a connection that can be made all the way across from offense to defense to special teams because of how it all works. So really, really excited about this opportunity, and especially getting Mike LaFleur, who is as ready as anybody when it comes to the system. You know, I always say that there's second generation offensive minds off the Shanahan tree, and then there's the direct descendants, and that's who the LaFleur family is. They're direct descendants. Mikey's been with Atlanta, Cleveland, Atlanta, and then San Francisco, so three different rebuilds for those guys, and they've done it over and over and over again, and so he's ready to add his wrinkle to it and build it from here. So
quick question, because I do want to talk to you about LaFleur's, and by the way, I have the coach that I think could take Coach Sala. I think it's Dan Campbell. If there's a coach that can maybe take it, it might be the new Lions coach. I just want to know, with Mikey LaFleur, okay, I mean, if he is faced with a similar situation, he's going Aaron Rodgers, not Mason Crosby, correct? Like, that's an easy... I'm not taking a shot at Matt, but he's not going to kick a field goal there. You're not going to let him do that, right, Coach?
You know, it's, there's so many different things that go into play. I can't speak for what his moment was, but... I know. You know, they were a third down away from getting the ball back with one timeout and 1:46 right. left, and a really, really late flag bounced in, and... You know, how things play out and how they felt on the sideline is really independent to those guys. And so we could all play the second guess game and all that stuff. And analytics will say one thing, but I'll never be able to play hypotheticals in the sense of putting myself in Maddie's shoes and just go through the process that he went through to make those decisions, because there's a lot of moving parts at that moment.
Coach, you said the analytics play a role. How much are you going to be using all that?
Analytics is very important. It is. It's so, you know, if you really think about it in its purest form, analytics is a gathering of information. And recently, numbers and statistics and percentages have all been jumping in real time. And so being able to gather all that information so you can make very, very quick, precise decisions is very important to me. Give me as much information as possible. Give our staff as much information as possible. We'll make the split decisions that are needed, because there's still variables that happen on game day, right? Like fourth and one, percentages might say, hey, go for it.
Right.
Muddy, your right guard might be out, and Aaron Donald might be on the other side of the ball. You just got to be able to process all those different things that the pure numbers don't actually take into account. But to answer your question, it is very, very important.
Is there a part of this job right now that you're more nervous about than something else? Is it like the game, the fourth and one decision, or is it like stepping in front of the media that isn't Stugatz?
No, you know what? It's actually just trying to find my way through the building and make sure that I'm doing everything I can to communicate with everyone. But at the same time, being able to watch tape so that way I can stay connected with offense, defense, and teams, and trying to find that balancing act through this through these first couple of weeks is probably the biggest challenge.
Have you found a place to live yet?
I believe so. I think my wife's here with the kiddos, and they're relentlessly right. trying to spend as much money as possible. So.
I mean, 5 year
deal. That's on county, baby.
That's Coach, that's what they do. I mean, listen, I grew up in Port Washington. If you want a really nice town to grow up, you know, raise your kids in, Port Washington, Sands Point, Manhasset, that area, Nassau County, and pretty close to where you are right now. So,
my brother's the JV football coach in Manhasset. So you go ahead and down. Okay. Trust me, it'll start. You know what I mean? Wink, wink.
With my wife, I know she's just. I just told her, just tell me where to go, where to park my car, and I'll be there.
He's a coach, Mikey. I mean, the wife takes care of everything else. I mean, every little last detail. Have you thought about that second pick at all? I have to ask you about it. Of course,
fair,
you have.
Fair question. Right. Always a fair question. Yes. There's just a lot of things that have to be talked about. We're from now till April, when the draft actually takes place. So there's so many different discussions. There's so many different things to talk about, not only with the second pick, but each position from quarterback to kicker, you know. So there's a lot of different things that we've got to talk about. There's a lot of different scenarios. There's a million different options. And so to go through that process, we still got to learn our roster. We still got to learn what's out in free agency. We still got to learn what's in college. And there's just a ton of things to do between now and that ultimate decision.
Is it fair to say, because I think this is part of what Jet fans want to hear, that you seem like a guy, you're not content, okay? It seems like you would upgrade at any position if you felt, and I'm including the quarterback position to be fair, if you felt like it was going to make your football team better and give you and the organization the best chance of winning a title.
For sure. You're always trying to find ways to get better. At every moment of every day, the organization in itself is always looking everywhere, whether it's ticketing, whether it's coaching staff, players, weight room, training room, meal room, always trying to find ways to get better. And if you ever get complacent, that's where complacency puts a ceiling on what you're capable of. So it's organizational mindset in terms of what we're trying to get accomplished from top all the way down with every single day. We need to go to bed better than when we woke up. And you have to have that mindset over. That's that whole all gas, no break mantra, and that you have to have that mindset to always look for ways to get better.
Final quick question here, and then some fill in the blank, and I'll get you out of here because I know you're short on time, and we appreciate you doing this.
No, you're good.
Your impressions when you guys turn on the film as a coaching staff, you look at Sam Darnold, you look at what he's done thus far in the NFL. What do you see in there?
You know, the production part of it, obviously, I'll speak for Sam. I know he's not happy with the production part of it, and that's fair. You know, it's been a rough start for his 3 years. But the one thing I'll tell you is that he's only 23. He's got a ridiculous amount of arm talent. He's fearless in the pocket. He's got tremendous mobility, and he's incredibly bright and can process, make good decisions in a very timely manner. So you just piece those together. The young man, there's a reason why he was a third overall pick. And we're not talking about a young man who's 26, 27, 20. I mean, this young man is 23 years old and handles himself in an unbelievable way. He's beloved in the locker room. And so he's still got a lot of juice left in the tank. And having these discussions and watching his tape and seeing how it all fits, it's very, very exciting. So there's, we're excited for Sam, too. You know, he's got a bright future still.
I'm super excited for you, man. I am. I'm starting to get more and more excited as this interview goes on. Like, Mikey, I'm loving our new Jets head coach. I mean, we have a new one every 3 years, but I'm loving this one, Mike.
Coach.
Hopefully this one lasts a little longer, man.
Yeah, it better, man. My daughter's upstairs. She's taking a class. She texted me, Dad, I want to come down here and say, my dad's been miserable for 40 years. Tell me why this is going to be different. I told him he's already sold me on that. She could stay up in class, just so you know.
Coach, I'll tell you right now, we're on a Zoom call. I'm in a room, four walls. You pick one, and I'm running through it for you. I'll run through whatever you want me
Let's
to.
Let's go.
Now.
Let's go.
Coach, this would not be an episode of Stupidity if I didn't try to angle for me and Mikey A to have some sideline passes, perhaps call a play during a preseason game, maybe dump some Gatorade on you if you win the Super Bowl. Okay. You think we could work any of that out with the great PR staff?
You're going to have to fight my over 100 family members for that one.
In case you didn't notice, he didn't say no to me riding the float with him after they win the Super Bowl. I'm just saying.
Mike, he doesn't realize he just Mike, he doesn't realize he went from four sons to six sons. I mean, he has no idea.
I'll take as many as God gives me, brother.
You're the best. All right, listen, fill in the blank. I just want the fans to get a chance to know you a little bit, and then we'll get you out of here, okay? The best dancer. You were the best man at Matt LaFleur's wedding. Is that correct? Were you nervous, by the way, giving that speech? Were you nervous at all?
I was more nervous about that than anything else.
Did you hit a home run? Did you nail it or what?
I don't remember. I don't remember.
Drunk?
Honestly, it was a little bit of a blur.
Yeah, a little tipsy?
Yeah.
I gotcha. It's okay. Best dancer at Matt LaFleur's wedding was blank.
Shoot. You know what? It was probably one of his buddies from high school.
Really? It's always the high school buddy, right? Why, you're a bad dancer?
I don't dance.
Okay, worst dancer was blank. That was
you're in New York media. You're going to dance now.
I just said that.
Right, you're going to tap dance now, coach. Oh, God. A craziest thing you ever saw George Kittle do was blank.
Oh, God.
I love him though. He's such a great player.
He does a lot of crazy stuff. He shotgunned a beer in an awkward spot one time. I won't say where, but he's unbelievable. You talk about a locker room guy. He's the greatest, one of the greatest locker room guys this league has. I freaking love him.
Wow, that's awesome. Jimmy Garoppolo, how is he as a locker room guy?
Jimmy Garoppolo, phenomenal. Yeah. Guys love him. I mean, he's
but they're jealous of how damn good looking he is, aren't they?
I mean, he is a very handsome young man. He is incredibly handsome.
By the way, because I only say this because you guys went against Brady in a Super Bowl, right? Yeah.
No, I missed him. I was gone by then.
Oh, you like the fact that coach? How old are you right now?
I'm 41.
The fact
I'll
that
be
he's
42
old.
Soon, so but yeah, I know it's what Tom's been able to do is
coach. He's older than you.
Oh, I know. He's dude. He's there's. I mean, I read a stat that Mahomes was in kindergarten when he won his first Super Bowl. I mean, is what he's been able to do. Like, I need his workout regimen. I need some of his food regimen. I need all of it. Right. It's what he's been able to do is remarkable.
You're doing just fine. Listen, I will tell you, we're happy to have him out of the division, okay? He came in at a good time, okay?
It's nice to be able to root for him once.
Yes. No, but you did. You came in at the right time. I mean, Josh Allen's here, but you came in.
Tua, I mean, those two are really, really good quarterbacks too. And you know, Coach Belichick, he's going to find one. So he's one of the greatest of all time. So,
all right. An irrational fear that you have is blank. Something you're afraid of that would surprise us.
Making my wife upset.
That's not irrational.
That's not irrational at all.
That's the most rational thing I've ever heard. If I'm not off this thing in 5 minutes, my wife's gonna leave me. She's already annoyed at how loud I'm being. Song you'll sing out loud in your car every time it comes on is blank.
Sweet Caroline.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Old school, huh?
Old school. I'm an 80s rock.
Come on,
rock.
Let's sing it together.
I'm not singing.
Oh, man, we're not singing, we're not dancing. All right, Coach Sal's favorite TV show is blank.
God, I don't watch TV.
Okay, yeah, you don't have time.
Yeah, back in the day, it was How I Met Your Mother. You know, right. that was a really good one, but I don't watch TV anymore.
Do you watch movies?
We're my wife and I are big movie junkies.
Okay, so, all right, favorite movie is blank.
Gladiator.
Of course it is.
Oh, yes. One of the greatest movies of all time, man.
I think I want to stop right there, Mike, because we have a head coach whose favorite movie is Gladiator. I mean, that's it. Yes. This has to work. Nothing else has. This has to work. Coach, we're super happy. I'm serious. On a personal note, the first Muslim coach in NFL history, congratulations. I know there's a great deal of pride that comes with that. And just congratulations on all your success. And we wish you luck. Believe me, no one wants it to work more than us. We are dying to love our head coach. We have not been able to do that since Rex Ryan. Please give us reasons to love you, okay?
Well, we're going to do our best. We're going to do our best, and we're going to find a way to make this work.
All right. And listen, maybe a Gatorade bath, perhaps a call play. How about just sideline passes? Me and Mikey will take sideline. Can we do that? Sideline passes?
You know, like I said, you got to fight the – but we'll see if we can make something work.
All right. I'll work it out
with 50-yard line seats.
He's erecting a statue for you, Coach. Coach, good luck with everything. We're super excited to have you as Jet fans. We're a lifelong Jet fan. We're super excited to have you. And we think that you're the guy, but we've also thought the last 18 were the guys. So, but we do think this about you. You look like a coach, you speak like a coach, and you're a great coach because you were a great defensive coordinator in San Francisco. So we appreciate it, man. Good luck with everything. We are rooting for you, I promise you.
I appreciate it. This was fun. I appreciate you guys.
All right, we'll do it again sometime, okay?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Thank you so much, Coach.
All right, good luck.
Port Washington, go find that town. Go live in a great town.
I tell my wife.
All right? It's a good commute for you, too. You take a train in. Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. It was the original light beer, and to this day, it's still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't. And listen, the NBA playoffs are here. I cannot tell you how many times I have drowned my sorrows because of the New York Knicks, and I've drowned them in ice-cold Miller Lights. But hopefully, there is hope. This year, I'll be celebrating my New York Knickerbockers. How about that? Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The original light beer since 1975. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Mikey, yeah, you're glowing.
You're glowing. I am already just deciding where I want to be in the parade, if I want to be towards the front or if I want to be in the back with the best players. But I told him, pick a wall. I'm running through it right now for him.
Oh, my God, I love him. But here's the problem. I love the last one. And I actually do still love the last one.
You can have that one.
I love the one before that. I love the one before that. I love the one before that. Stop when I get to Cotite. I love the one before that. I didn't love that one. The Cotite era. That I knew in advance. It was not gonna work.
You knew that one right off.
Oh my God. I did. I really liked Robert Sala, man.
His favorite movie is Gladiator. I'm gonna go watch it right now.
That's it. I had more fill in the blanks, but I didn't care. Like, no. Yes, right. I wanted to stop at a good, like, I got a good note. Cause like if I asked him his favorite pet, which was coming up, and he didn't say a Rottweiler, we were gonna be disappointed.
Imagine he said like a Chihuahua. Like, it's my Chihuahua Fifi. Like, I'd be like
it, the, I'd fire the, him.
The illusion would be gone. I'd be like, okay, forget it.
Yeah, but he loves Gladiator. Now I want to have him on with Adnan just to talk movies. Can we merge this? Get them all on, okay? I am so far removed from New York that I'm so accustomed to going to games at Shea Stadium. I was telling them to live in Port Washington because the train goes right there. The Jets just texted me, hey, we play in Jersey now. Port's way too far. They're right.
I was too busy having googly eyes over Coach that I don't think I caught that, but I would have. I mean, Long Island to New Jersey? No, thanks. That's miserable.
It is it's the first time I've been able to do like you were swooning. I've never seen you like that.
You haven't seen me swoon yet.
Well, no, because listen, Stanzik produced most of the episodes of Stupidity. This is your fourth one. You're not going to swoon over Greg Cody. You didn't swoon over Adnan. And you barely had a heartbeat, a pulse, when Patrick came on.
Hey, well, Jesus. Well, Dan Patrick and I had a very awkward silence for the 20 minutes until you arrived.
Awkward silence, he got up and took a phone call because he didn't want to deal with you.
He didn't want to talk because I tried making small talk with him, and he just kind of looked at his phone and he went, yeah. And then got up and didn't say, excuse me for a minute, I have to take. He just kind of got up. And I was like, all right, I get it.
Oh, that's so great. All right, so we're fired up. The 18th coach in New York Jets. How many coaches have the Jets had in total? Is it 18?
I think this is the 18th, yeah.
Mikey, they have had 22 head coaches in NFL in the Jets history. 22 head coaches since 1960, okay? You're leaving out Sammy Baugh was a player coach, 60, 61, 62. It was a guy named Bulldog Turner. Get him on.
How do I get a nickname like Bulldog? Like, you ever wonder how people get the, like, I want a nickname like Bulldog or Night Train. Give me some, like, I get terrible nicknames.
Mikey A. That's not a bad nickname. Yeah, you're asking the guy whose nickname is Stugatz, asshole. I mean, seriously.
That's not your nickname. That's your name.
It is my name. Okay, well, my nickname's Wiener then. I mean, then we went. So if you want to go back to like 63, Weeb Eubank was the Jets' first coach, right? Mm-hmm. So if you take, so now we're at 22. So this is the 20th head coach if you want to exclude those first two. It started with Weeb Eubank, Charlie Winner, who was not a winner. Okay. Charlie Winner, who went 9-14, should have been named Charlie Loser. He was the second coach, okay? Then it went to Ken Shipp, Lou Holtz. How about that, Lou Holtz? A little cup of coffee with the Jets. Mike Holovac, Walt Michaels, the Walt Michael years. He did just enough to suck me in. That goddamn guy, man. He went just enough to suck. Joe Walton, 83-89. Coslet. Carroll, Kotite, Belichick. Yeah, Belichick's on there. He's 0-0, but he's on there. It should just be 1-0, Belichick, 1-0, and it should just be his middle finger. God, Al Groh. Okay, so I think you're right. It's 18 head coaches because they have Belichick in there, Parcells. It's a whole mess, this thing, yeah, on Wikipedia. So you know what they say, Mike? The 18th time is the charm.
What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results? But this is different.
I just fucking fell for it again.
Hook, line, and sinker.
We're
Hook,
going to the Super Bowl. Stupidity. Stugatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. It was the original light beer, and to this day, it's still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't. And listen, the NBA playoffs are here. I cannot tell you how many times I have drowned my sorrows because of the New York Knicks, and I've drowned them in ice-cold Miller Lights. But hopefully, there is hope. This year, I'll be celebrating my New York Knickerbockers. How about that? Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The original light beer since 1975. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.